Hi everyone, this is Ryan Ringnault, again desires to speak to you in this series of sermons. The title of the series is called Biblical Salvation. Thus far that we started with an introduction, then we had three other short messages around 30 minutes long each about three different topics. One, salvation is a miracle. Second one was entitled, The Evidences of Salvation, and that was the general thrust of it. And thirdly, the last message that we had, which I hope you've listened to going into this message, was entitled, Are You Really Lost? Now I've come to this message, which is entitled, Beware of False Prophets, Beware of False Peace. I want you all to know, whoever's listening to my voice, truly, I have a dear love for your soul. I have a dear desire for the good to your eternal, never dying being. I have no ill will to you, no hatred of you. Surely, the church that I'm a part of, the Church of Wells, has been greatly persecuted by the grace of God, not forsaken by God, because we have not forsaken our integrity. All that we've tried to do is to rightly and faithfully discharge our duty as Christians, to uphold the written word of God, to walk with a good conscience before God and before men, to provide things honest, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men, to flee from sin to the arms of a loving Father, who is a God of love, but yet He's also a God of justice, who is a God of judgment and a God of wrath, but not at the expense of truth, and not in the worldly sense of sensuality, of self-love, of unrighteous, lustful, lewd love at the expense of justice. This message that I bring to you is a very sober one, a very serious one, and I do pray and treat you that you might give some attention to the things that I'm going to say, but it is entitled again, Beware of False Prophets and Beware of False Peace. And that is my desire to share that with you. And surely my message is somewhat in two parts. Lord willing, that's how it will be. But nevertheless, the main point that I want to make is about false prophets and what they do and the influence they have. And the reason that I believe this thing is so important is because the stakes, is because the effect that false prophets can have can ruin never dying, everlasting, immortal souls. Though this might seem shocking, this might seem very, very intense of a statement, I'd like to share a statement that I have written down. How serious is this business of false prophets? Let's put it this way. The darkest corner of hell is reserved for them. Yea, a mass murderer in God's eyes is not as filthy as such and one, a massive murderer, souls. Let me say this and go even further for you all that are hearing the sound of my voice. I believe unequivocally the greatest plague in this nation, yea, the greatest plague in the world that we live in today, according to God and His estimation, which He estimates and appropriate things differently than men do. He's seeing things from the big picture. He's seeing things in light of His holy name, in light of His eternal truth, in light of the souls of men, and not just a temporary carnal estimation. Greatest plague known to man we face today is not the black plague of the dark ages where one-third or two-thirds of Europe died. The greatest plague is false prophets. My heart is broken over the deception, over the innumerable, immeasurable, absolutely shocking amount of leaven and deception, false doctrine, heresy, anti-God type of doctrine and preaching that is taking place in the Western English-speaking world today. Jeremiah, in his day of great apostasy from the biblical faith, from the faith once delivered unto the saints said it like this in Jeremiah 23 verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. Thus, without further ado, I'd like to speak to you all on false prophets, false peace. By God's grace, I don't want to carry on for long, but I do hope that you understand the main points that I make, and I hope that you that are seeking salvation, you that could be lost, you that might be shaken, that don't know if you're born again, don't know if your eternity is sealed, don't know if you died right now, if you'd wake up in hell, if demons and devils would drag you unto hell, under the wrath of God, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and they have no rest day nor night. Whether you be carried like Elijah by chariots of fire into glory to stand before the King, and all the saints of all time, of all nations and tribes and tongues standing before the Lord, saying unto Him, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For Thou hast created all things, and by Thy hands they are and were created. If you don't know where you stand before the Lord, if you don't know how it is with your soul eternally, oh please, consider what I say. And as much as what I say is according to the written word of God, as Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the founder of this religion of Christianity, the head of the church, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 verse 4, please be a good Berean and search the scriptures to see whether the things that I'm saying are so. My first point is I want to share with you why this is relevant to biblical salvation. Yes, the sermon series is on biblical salvation. Why would I be speaking about false prophets? Why would I be speaking about false peace in light of that? Why would that be important to those that are lost and perhaps want to be saved, or those that are saved and want to know more about the gospel and want to understand more about what we believe about biblical Christianity and about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, if I may, I will start by reading to you Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 3, which is a chapter in scripture almost solely dedicated to dealing with false prophets. That is the point. It's very much like 2 Peter chapter 2, like Matthew chapter 23, like Ezekiel chapter 34, like Jeremiah chapter 23. These are some of the main passages in scripture. I hope that you will read through all of them and compare them and parallel them and pray about them and consider them. They're the main passages. There are some of them in the scripture about this very, very important, vital, urgent topic of false prophets. In that chapter, Jude chapter 1 verse 3 through 4, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, for the faith, for biblical salvation, for the gospel which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What is being said there? What is my point? I wanted to show you the relevancy of talking about false prophets and false peace, which is heresy, in this series, which is entitled Biblical Salvation. Well, Jude is saying, when I wrote unto you of the common salvation. He was writing about the gospel, what the gospel is, what the faith once delivered unto the saints is. It was needful, Jude says, for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Against who? Against false prophets, false preachers, false professors of Christianity who are professing another faith that does not save, that is not the gospel, which is the power of God and salvation to those who believe it, which is not the Jesus that died and rose again and is a sinner of the right hand of the throne of God, but it is Satan masquerading as an angel of light. It is those that are claiming to be ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works, who are denying the faith, denying the only Lord God that bought them, turning, according to Jude chapter 1 verse 4 that I just read unto you, the grace of God into lasciviousness. Do you all know what that means? Can I share with you what the Webster's 1828 first definition in that dictionary says? It says that that word means looseness. Looseness of life. Lawlessness. Antinomianism. Turning God's grace into a license to do what we want to do. To be our own Lord. To be our own guide. To be our own counselor. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only Lord. That Jesus Christ is God, that He is the head of the church. He is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And thus wisdom is to obey Him. According to the written word of God, as God leads us by His Spirit through His written word. Secondly, in a sermon entitled, Five Marks of a False Prophet, I want to share with you something the late Rolf Barnard, this blessed man, said. Oh, Rolf Barnard, this man was saved back in the 1920s. He had gone to a school called Hardin Simmons in Abilene, Texas. And when he was there, he founded an infidel club. He knew that he had a calling of God upon his life. His mother, who was a very godly woman, had dedicated him to Jesus Christ when he was but in her womb, when he was but a very, very, very young child conceived. And it dedicated him to the Lord that he would be able to serve the Lord, that she would give him to the Lord. But he wasn't saved. And he was at this school and he started an infidel club. And he started to try to turn all the professing Baptists away from the faith, once delivered unto the saints, away from their faith in the written word of God as the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. He tried to do that. But he said for years, though he was a very outspoken infidel and desired to go to a big time college and be a lawyer and make a lot of money and live the good life, he was a very gifted man, talented man, a good orator. Said for years at night, though he was part of an infidel club and outwardly against biblical Christianity, said at night he was afraid. He was afraid that he might wake up in hell. He was afraid that he wasn't right with God and he would beg God to save him at night. He would ask God to forgive him, but he said that what was in his conscience was that God was not going to forgive him until he submitted to the Lord. And he knew that the Lord wanted him to be a preacher. The Lord wanted him to go and preach the word of God, but he didn't want to do that. He knew it would be an occupation of ill repute. He knew he would be reproached. He knew he would be an offense and an offscoring and the filth of the world and an offscoring of all things. Like he did become a very, very despised man. A man who was persecuted all over the country. A man who was greatly spoken against on many sides. People wrote against him. People stormed the pulpit against him. People cussed him. People had all-night prayer meetings against him, praying that he would get the light, praying that he would repent and recant from his biblical gospel that he preached that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's not your Savior if he's not your Lord. And he's a living Lord. And he's a relevant Lord, and he desires your allegiance and obedience. Well, Rolf Barnard eventually, after years crying out for God for mercy at night, but in the day saving face before men and trying to turn many to infidelity, trying to turn many against the scriptures. After years of this, Rolf Barnard eventually, one night, gave his life to the Lord and submitted to do the will of God for his life, which was to be a preacher. And he knew it wasn't going to be easy. And he knew it wasn't going to be the road of fame and popularity. God saved his soul, and Rolf Barnard says, that's when God will save your soul, or my soul, or anybody else's soul, when you submit to do the will of God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says it like this, submit yourselves, therefore, unto the Lord. Resist the devil, he will flee for you. My dear friends, have you ever submitted to the Lordship of Christ? Have you ever bowed the knee to King Jesus, the prophet, the priest, and the King of glory? The eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God who is faithful and true, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, who is alive, who is resurrected and ascended right now at the throne of God, having all power in heaven and earth, and all the nations are but a drop in a bucket before him, even has nothing over him, he's got the whole world in his hands. Have you ever bowed your knee to him? That you would worship him in spirit and truth, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse till death? That is biblical salvation. When you can do that, you can't do that by the grace of God. Neither can I. By the grace of God, I have bowed my knee to the Lord. I'm not fighting against God anymore, and I've given up my life, my dreams, my hopes. And His will is my will, and His way is my way. According to the written word of God, I want to follow Jesus. So I believe in Him. Do you? Well, I went off on a tangent, but if I may share before you all what Rolf Barnard says in this sermon to justify why I would add a sermon or a message on false prophets and false peace in light of a sermon series that is about biblical salvation. In this sermon, Rolf Barnard opens up and he says, "It is my conviction, not mine alone, that our task these days is threefold in the public proclamation of the word." Number one, Rolf says we must proclaim and enforce God's holy law. Number two, we must proclaim God's holy gospel in all of its purity and in its proper order. And number three, we must lift up our voices and call to people's attention the Savior's plain admonition to beware of false prophets. That's why I'm preaching this message. I agree with Rolf Barnard in these things. That is my call to you. According to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ commanded, Jesus Christ warned, Jesus Christ exhorted the people that were listening to his voice, whom he loved and was burdened for their souls, and he knows the way to get to glory. He knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's showing them the way. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. He goes on and he says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruits, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruits. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In this sermon of Rolf Barnard, I've marked out and highlighted some excerpts to show you what he said. I believe that he had much understanding, false prophets versus the true, and I'd like to share some of those excerpts with you, what he says. I agree with what he says. He makes a number of points. One of the main points he makes about false prophets, that you all that are hearing my voice, if you want to be saved, if you want any hope to make it unto glory, to be with all the holy angels in heaven, to be with Jesus Christ and all the righteous men that ever lived, and not to be with Adolf Hitler, and not to be with Judas Iscariot, and not to be with all the wicked and all the damned of all time, surely eternity is much about the company that's going to be there. Oh, America, America, I pray, I desire, I'm burdened, you'd make it unto glory. But if you don't understand this admonition of Jesus Christ, who said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they outwardly look good, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, I don't believe you'll make it. I don't believe I'll make it either. By the grace of God, I've heeded these words in my life. Rolf Barnard has a number of points. One of those points is that false prophets speak peace. Peace, peace, when there's no peace. That's one of the main points that he makes in this sermon. That's one of the main points the Bible makes of false prophets, of the spirit of Antichrist, which means against Christ or in place of Christ. Secondly, Rolf Barnard believes that false prophets make the way more broad than it really is. And of course, if you believe the way was broader than it really is, if you believe that more people got to heaven than they really do, if you believe that you could slack more than you really can in trying to work out your salvation with fear and trembling by the grace of God working in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure according to Philippians 2, then you will take advantage of that. Then we will cut corners and we will try to straddle the fence and we will try to pick sides and take the easy route and not the truth, the way of truth. But it's just not so. Many have fallen into that snare. So let me share with you a couple excerpts from Rolf Barnard on false prophet. He says in this excerpt, "Let me call your attention one more time that a false prophet is not necessarily an evil prophet. In the Old Testament and sometimes in the New, there are evil prophets. They are malicious. They are satanically inspired. But a false prophet could be a fine fellow. He comes to you in sheep's clothing. But the fact that he is such a nice fellow, he is so earnest and he's so sincere, he seems to have such a passion for souls, and he seems to want to see people saved so intensely, which makes him all the more dangerous because the people will hear him as he preaches a message that doesn't bear good fruit. I don't care how nice a man is," Rolf says, "if his message doesn't produce good fruit, he is a false prophet. And the Lord tells us to beware of false prophets, and he tells us how we can tell false prophets by their fruits that result from the ministry of that fellow that preaches on the street or over the radio or from the pulpit stand or wherever he may preach. If his converts are not good, if his converts do not spend the rest of their lives as callers and seekers of the Lord, if his converts go to hell because they are depending on some physical act they performed or some prayer that they said or something like that, then quote, beware of false prophets, Barnard says. Are you bewaring of false prophets, America? Are you understanding the danger of believing the wrong professing Christian? Do you know that majority opinion is not always true? Do you know that generally in the scripture, the minority opinion is true? The minority opinion agrees with the written word of God, and majority opinion is false? Majority opinion is deadly poison. False prophets in scripture are likened unto serpents and vipers. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape from the damnation of hell? Oh my soul, this is serious business. So many souls, so many professing Christians in this country of the United States of America are going to hell. They're perishing in their sins. They're in chains of darkness and they know it not because they believed a false prophet. Please hear me now. Anyone that would listen to this sermon, though I'm 21 minutes into it and maybe many have lost interest by this time, please. If a man is not turning you from sin, if a man is trying to pat you on the back and tell you you're fine when the Word of God is not doing it, fear that man and run. Run. Run from him. Most will not believe my words, thinking that I have forsaken mine integrity, believing lies of slanderers and railers. My dear friends, please believe the words of Jesus Christ and of Scripture, not my words. Jesus Christ said, beware of false prophets. Jesus Christ said, beloved, 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God commands us to prove all things. Prove. Examine is what that means. Try all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Are you trying the spirits? Not just the words. Not just the appearance, because false prophets oftentimes look better in the outward and they're more gifted and more talented than the true prophets. Just like King Ahab smelled better and he looked better and he sounded better and he surely was smoother than Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah was a mountain man. Elijah probably had a beard. Elijah smelled bad. Elijah was dressed just like a John the Baptist. Yet he was true. And Ahab was false. Oh, my friends, be not deceived by the looks of men. Judge not after appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Because I've carried on for so long in this message, I believe that it would be appropriate for me to bring it to a close and extend upon this message, extend upon this burden, for all of you that are listening to my voice. Therefore, I will be expounding upon the sermon of Ralph Barnard, where he talks about false prophets, where he talks about the fruits and the marks of false prophets. And one of those mainly that I'd like to talk about in the next message in this sermon series on biblical salvation is how that false prophets speak peace, peace, when there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. And secondly, I would like to expound upon the dangers, the bewitchment of false peace that you ought to avoid, whoever you are, and run from for your life, whoever you be. I'd like to expound upon that and the dangers of evil communication, but I'm going to forbear for now and leave that for the next message. I hope that you all, America, you all that are hearing the sound of my voice, whosoever you would be, whether you be lost or saved, whether you be an atheist or a professing Christian, believe the Bible or not, consider your ways. May the Lord bless you and have mercy on you and this nation and this world before it's all said and done, and turn many to the living God and the only Savior of men, Jesus Christ, the righteous.